right, let's get our Bible. Go to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. This evening, I know we were in Psalm 37 last week, but this evening we will be looking at just one verse, primarily in Psalm 37. But we will begin reading from verse number 1. Psalm 37, verse number 1. The Bible says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed." In other words, God's going to take care of you if you trust Him. You know, fear is one of the main causes for us, for our trust in God to falter. Is there's a fear that the Lord's not going to come through, or that we might lack. In this case in particular, it's referring especially to our lack. And so we're afraid if we don't do X, Y, or Z that we feel that pressure to do, that somehow we're going to lack. But the Lord says, trust me. Trust me, and do good, which is what we do by faith. And God said, I'll take care of you. Verily, thou shalt be fed. Now notice verse 4, it says, delight thyself also. So in addition to trust, delight. In addition to trust, delight. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. And just to round it off, verse number 5, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for this word of scripture, these several verses here that are a help and encouragement to us. Many people have memorized and have taken comfort in this portion of this psalm throughout history. And Lord, even as we look at it tonight, I pray that it would be a comfort to us, especially as we look at verse 4 in some detail. Please guide us and help us in our study. We need your help. I pray, Lord, you would enable us to indeed delight ourselves in our Lord, that we might find great joy and happiness in our Savior. So, Lord, help us, guide us in our study tonight. We commit the time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to ask you a question. Based upon verse number 4, which is a command, it's an imperative. Delight thyself in the Lord. Delight thyself in the Lord. I want to ask you a question as we think about what it means to have delight. What does it mean to have delight? And the question I want to ask you is this. What makes you happy? What in your life makes you happy? You know, I think about myself, because there's a lot of things that make me happy. I'll refer to this again later if I remember, but several days ago, Apple had their Worldwide Developers Conference. Did anybody see that? Brother David did. Brother David and I are the only people that give two rips about that. I am the guy, though, who gets joy out of watching the keynote. I mean, a little bit. I get some joy watching the keynote. There's a lot of things in our life that give us joy, and it is absolutely not sinful for things in our life to give us joy. And this says, delight thyself also in the Lord. And an important question for us to consider is, what makes us happy? What makes you happy? And of those things, is the Lord one of them? Is the Lord the first of them? Right? Now, we know that people who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, they often, besides the normal human things that we might delight in, they also delight in sin. In fact, if you read the Psalms in various places, it actually mentions how that they take delight in lies. And it says things like that, where they delight in sin. Sin brings them joy. But for a believer, that can't be. That can't be. Even if we take joy in sin, briefly, it will be brief. Because the Lord, because he is intent on correcting us, he is just simply not going to allow us to enjoy it very long. He's not going to allow us as his child. Now, with the world, it's a completely different question. Those who do not know God, they indulge in sin and they enjoy it. They delight in wickedness, and the Lord doesn't say a word about it generally, right? Now, he will, but often the Bible says in 1 Peter, the judgment must begin at the house of God. But you think about those outside, sometimes the judgment is to follow. So the Lord, as it were, and we know there are exceptions to this, but he just leaves them alone and they indulge in sin and then they bear the fruit of it later, sometimes much later. But for his people, for God's people, he does not do that. He, because of correction, he does not allow us to enjoy it very long. To put it briefly, he does not allow us, God does not allow us to have joy and sin at the same time. He's not doing that. So that joy is brief, and then you got to deal with God, right? Because he's a good father. Father's Day. He's a good father to us. And so he's not going to let us off the hook. He's going to correct us. But we're not of the world in that way. We belong to God. We are his heritage. We are his property, if you will, his possession. And he treats us differently. He treats us differently. And here's the thing I want you to see in verse 4 is, delight thyself also in the Lord tells us that God wants us to be happy. Now, I know that's, you hear that, and often when that's preached anywhere, that's what they mean is God wants you to have a nice boat, and he wants you to have a million-dollar house, and he wants you to have 3 2-week vacations a year, and, he wants you to have all of those things. See, God wants you to be happy, but that is so misguided. That kind of thinking, that prosperity gospel thinking, is so misguided. What we do see in verse 4 is the Lord does want you and he does want me to be happy. That's why he says, delight thyself also in the Lord. Sister Karen, the Lord wants you to be happy. But he wants you to be happy in the right source, right? And again, it's not that every source of happiness or delight in our life is sinful. That's certainly not the case. Any of you that have had a little baby, or in the case of some of you, grandbaby, you hold that little grandbaby and hold that baby, there's a great source of happiness. That's perfectly fine. That's perfectly okay, of course. But what makes us happy? Think about, and just be honest with yourself in your own mind. Just be honest with yourself a minute. In my life, what do I take joy in? What gets me happy? What gets me happy? What do I turn to for delight in my life? For many people, here's what it is, and you can probably add to this. This is just me brainstorming. For many people, what they take delight in is things like time off work, having extra money, right? Getting a bonus around Christmas time, right? Taking a vacation. I take delight in that. Some people delight in watching TV or scrolling through social media, right? Sometimes people take delight and they get joy, they get happiness from time spent with their beloved, as it were. I'm looking around the room. Sometimes we get joy from going out to eat and any number of other things that you might take joy in. Those are the things that make people happy. And it's not necessarily sinful to take delight in those things. I'm certainly not saying that. However, what we have to remember is that if those things make us happy as a child of God, but at the same time we derive no delight from our relationship with our Savior, that is a shame. Right? Verse 4 is not talking about any kind of happiness except the kind that is sourced in the Savior. That's the only kind verse 4 is talking about. And ask yourself, what makes me happy in my life? Just be honest with yourself a minute. What makes me happy? And if you list all of these things, and again, I'm not saying those things are sinful, for certainly they're not necessarily sinful. But if those things make me happy, but I survey my heart, which is what we're talking about, the Psalms, the heart of the Bible, both in the Bible, but also in its theme, looking at my heart, if I examine my heart and there is no real joy or delight from my relationship with the Lord, but yet I have delight in all of these other things, something is wrong. That is a shame. That is a shame for a child of God to have delight in everything in the world that might bring joy, but the one thing that is supposed to stand at the very top of our sources of joy, at the pinnacle, and yet we have none. And I want to tell you something. All of us know what it's like to have a Christian life with no delight. I think all of us have been there at some point or another, right? But see, as children of God, we can be people who are thrilled with vacations and bonuses and new cars and new iPhones and new computers and all of the things that might thrill us and have no pleasure and no joy and no delight in Christ Himself. So I want to ask you, I'm asking me to examine our heart. Do I delight in the Lord Jesus Christ? Is there any joy I get from my relationship with Him? Because verse 4 tells us He wants us to have that. He wants us to have joy indeed, great delight from Him. From Him. You know, when we think about what makes us happy, you know, we think about vacations and, you know, if you like going, I don't know, you like going to the beach or you like going to an amusement park or a cabin or something, like wherever you like to go. Maybe you like to go overseas, whatever you like to do for your fun. You know, you will save for that. You think about that. You pursue that. You desire that. You wait on that. And you're willing to spend time. You're willing to spend effort. You're willing to give part of your life for that. In other words, you pursue it. You desire it because it brings you so much delight. That's why we do that. What about the Lord? Just put the Lord in there. If we had that same measure of delight for the Lord like we do for all of these temporal things, would not that impel us to seek after Him and to walk with Him and to spend time with Him and to sacrifice for Him and all of those things that we do for all of the temporal things that bring us delight? So here's the question, I think, the chief maybe takeaway from this, the question which is what makes you happy, is this, that our chief and our first delight should be the Lord. Our chief and our first delight should be the Lord. Is that true of you? Is that true of you? The second thing I want you to see is in verse 4 again. It says, delight thyself also in the Lord. And notice that is in the imperative. It's a command. So we might have this idea that the world has taught us, which is wholly false. I can't help how I feel. Well, I beg to differ. You absolutely can help how you feel. Sometimes our feelings are wrong. Well, stop, right? Stop. Your feelings are wrong? Stop feeling that way. Well, I can't. I can't help it. Oh, yes, you can. If your heart changes toward that thing, your feelings will change, I promise you. Some of you have probably been in a relationship with somebody maybe you shouldn't have been in a relationship with. Maybe you didn't know it at the time, and then they did something or said something or whatever. They revealed something about their character, and all of a sudden, whatever was there, whatever feelings were there, whatever butterflies existed, just like that, flew away. Some of you probably have experienced something like that. It's amazing how fast our feelings change, and yet we say, I can't help it. I can't help it. I can't help it. Yeah, we can help it. We can help it. This is a command. And that that tells us something about this matter of delighting ourselves in the Lord, which is we have some measure of power over whether we're happy. If the Lord says, delight thyself also in the Lord, that means that you have some power over whether or not you're happy, because God's telling you to delight. He's telling you to do it. So it's not simply a matter of you're just subject to the whims of whatever emotional state you're in or however you woke up this morning. No, you have the power, at least to some degree, to control whether or not you are happy in Jesus. You have some measure of control. Look, if you would, at Galatians chapter 5. Get Galatians chapter 5 and John chapter 15. Of course, the question we have to ask ourselves, and the one I was asking myself as I was thinking about this, was, okay, the Lord says, delight thyself also in the Lord. I need to be able to tell these people how you do that, right? I can tell you all day, delight thyself in the Lord, delight thyself also in the Lord, delight thyself also in the Lord. But if I don't give you some sort of, if I don't give you guidance, indeed, if I don't have guidance myself as to how to do it, you're just going to sit there and say, well, I want to be happy. Okay, I want to be happy, but I don't have a clue how to do it. Well, this is kind of the answer, what I think is the answer. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 22. But the fruit of the Spirit, notice that word. I want you to pay close attention to it. The fruit of the Spirit is love. What's the second word? Joy. Peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Now, what is a fruit? Is a fruit something that you try to do? Is a fruit the cause or the effect? A fruit is the effect. In this case, it says the fruit of the Spirit. So when we read that joy, delight, is a fruit of the Spirit, what that means is that through the cause, the Spirit of God is the cause, and through His work in us, we talked about this on Sunday, the power of the Spirit of God. That's what we're talking about on Sunday, in the kingdom of God. Well, by the power of the Spirit of God, who is the cause working in us, He produces, not you, not me, He produces in us joy. So that's why I hesitated and made a little caveat when I said, delight thyself also in the Lord, being a command, means that we have some measure of power over this thing. We can obey it and seek to be happy in the Lord. It's not entirely our power, because this is actually joy and delight in the Lord is actually a fruit that the Spirit of God produces in us. Look at John 15, if you would. John 15, verse 1. Now, I'm going to just read through these first 11 verses here, but I'm just going to point out a couple things that interestingly, match Psalm 37, verse 4. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, notice the fruit, that's from Galatians, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Notice what the Lord says. Abide in me, and I in you. Abide in me. You can think of it like this, and I'll be honest with you. Verse number 4, the word abide in me is a little bit elusive. I don't feel like I've got my brain all the way around what Jesus is saying when he says, abide with me. But one thing I think is true about this word is it does indicate that we should be close to him, right? In this case, talking about a grapevine, abiding in him means being attached to him. That's the idea in the physical sense. That's the illustration. He is the vine. We are the branches coming out of the vine. And he says we need to be attached to him so that we'll bear fruit. And that attachment, that proximity to the Lord Jesus Christ, our walk with him is at least part of what abide in me is talking about. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. In other words, he's going to do it, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Now, where does the fruit come from? It comes from the vine. It doesn't come from the branch. It comes from the vine. It comes from the Lord Jesus. For without me, ye can do nothing. And in that verse is also, delight thyself also in the Lord. You cannot be happy. You cannot delight yourself in the Lord without being attached and close to the Lord Jesus. Forget it. It's not going to happen. Because it is a fruit he produces. Right? Let's keep reading. Verse 6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, well, that's interesting, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. Now, I'm going to read something back in Psalm 37. Notice Jesus says in verse number 7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, like what you desire, and it shall be done unto you. You see what Jesus is saying there, right? Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires, what you will, of thine heart. You see that? It's parallel. These are saying the same thing. Notice what it says in verse number 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Now, it's interesting because the first fruit of the Spirit is love. And here love is mentioned. And then you keep reading, which is, this is talking about fruitfulness, Christian fruitfulness. Verse 10 says, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things, what things? What things is he talking about? He's talking about his entire illustration about the vine and the branches, abiding in him, staying attached to him, so that he will therefore bear fruit in us. One of those fruits will be love. Why did he say these things? These things have I spoken unto you, that what? What does it say? Joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. That's the second fruit, which is produced by the vine, not by us, but by the vine. So the question is, how do we delight ourselves in the Lord? It's not like a 10-step process. It's nothing like that. You know what you got to do? You've got to go to Jesus. He is the source. It all goes back to our daily walk with Jesus. And please do not misinterpret when I say daily walk with Jesus. I'm not talking about making sure you read several chapters a day, making sure you pray through your prayer list. Walking with Jesus is more than checking boxes. It includes those things for sure. He says, my words abide in you in John 15. So there's an aspect of the Word of God, certainly prayer and communication and fellowship with God is part of it, but it's also a matter of submission to him as he's leading us and not resisting, yielding to his will, yielding to, it's a walk with him. He goes here, you go. He goes there, you go. It's a walk with him. It's a daily abiding in Christ. And when we do that, when we stay attached to him and close to him and walk with him, he makes us happy. You know what that tells us? We can therefore use our delight as a gauge. Am I happy in the Lord? If the answer to that is no, every indication is that something is wrong with your walk. Because that's the fruit. Being happy in the Lord Jesus, delighting in the Lord, is the result of a walk with God. So if that's missing, what we need to be looking at is something's wrong with my walk. Because it is not God's will and it is not God's intention for you to live your life as a Christian and for me to live my life as a Christian unhappy. So what do we say if we're not happy? And we all know what that's like, do we not? We know what it's like to live day by day as a child of God and not be happy about it. Mark it down. If that's you, something is wrong with your walk. Because if your walk, if you were abiding in Christ, He would produce joy. Someone might have an idea. Well, no. I read my Bible and I pray. I still don't have happiness. Listen, let God be true and every man a liar. He said He would produce joy. And I can bear witness to that, and many of you in here in this room can as well. I know what it's like to walk with God, and for Him, out of His work in me, producing a joy that I did not manufacture. God does not want our Christian life to be an unhappy Christian life. He wants us to be a delightful Christian life. And perhaps this is one of the reasons that people withdraw from serving the Lord and withdraw from being actively involved in a church. Perhaps the reason is because they have no happiness, no delight in it at all. There's no joy. You know, it is hard to do something you don't like to do, right? It is hard to do something that makes you unhappy. I think, honestly, to be honest with you, I think that's one of the reasons why people withdraw from serving the Lord and withdraw from their involvement in a local church is there's no joy. And this also might be a reason why you see some people that gravitate toward more, quote, exciting churches because they're bored in, you know, a church like ours, as an example. They're bored. Is that, you know, yawn. So they withdraw. They're not having fun. They're not enjoying themselves. There's no delight, right? And they say, well, it's the church. The church is dead. The church is this. And I'm not saying churches don't have problems. We know they do, right? But they withdraw, and then all of a sudden they're being pulled into a church that's exciting, right? But often that excitement is just artificial energy. It's just, you know, constant activity. It's the next new thing. It's full of sensational tricks that simulate, hear me now, please, that simulate what verse 4 is talking about. Simulate happiness. Because look, you go to that, everybody's excited at that church. But the question is there delight in the Lord, like the verse says, or is there delight in the next exciting new thing? That's why they're always pushing the edge and always chasing the next new thing. There's a place near our house, a church near our house, that they change their names. They change the church's name like people change their undershirts. And every name, at one point it was Velocity Church, and it's always one of these names that's like, you know, different. You know, now it's like 3 and 20 or whatever. I don't know anything about that church. I drive by it a lot and I see the name changes, and it's obvious that there's a push to update it. It might be a great church, but that's what I noticed. But there is definitely a tendency in people, they want the next new thing. Keep them excited. And it seems like this delight because everybody's excited. They're happy to be there. Well, hold on just one second, please. Delight in the Lord is not something that is manufactured by exterior stimuli. That's not what we're talking about. Verse 4, look at what verse 4 says. Delight thyself also in the Lord. He is the source. Not stimulus. He is the source. Not the next new thing. He is the source. What that means is you can come to a boring church like this, and if you're walking with God, you can live with joy and delight in the Lord. I'm being facetious, obviously. So this is the reason if you have lived in your Christian life and you know that joy, this is why many of us are like, I don't need that. I'm not looking for the next new thing. You know what I'm looking for? I'm looking to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, and I am happy. I don't feel any kind of lack. I don't feel an itch for the next thing. You know, I don't feel that way. I'm happy, right? Are you happy? Do you delight in the Lord Jesus Christ? So that's what I'm saying. This is the kind of thing that drives the direction of a church. If I are walking with the Lord and having that delight, that is going to directly affect the way our church is, right? Is it not? But if not, and we're looking for a cheap substitute, now we're just going to start looking, trying this and that and the other. And listen, I'm all for trying things that help, but really what we should be trying are things to help ministry, to help reach people. You know, those kinds of things, not manufacture artificial excitement. That's not what we're trying to do at all. You will get, and I will get, plenty of delight from walking with the Lord Jesus. We will. Brother Ari, you have new songs? Sing new songs. As long as they're good, right? Sing new songs. Great. I like to hear new songs because I like to hear people that are writing songs and they love Jesus and they want to express that. I like that. All right. It's not about getting stuck in one place. But that's one extreme. And the other extreme is grasping after the next new thing to simulate this kind of joy. But that's not what you need. You need the Lord Jesus. But be careful also, because the Bible says in verse 4, we're to delight in the Lord. Delighting in the Lord is not the same as delighting in things that are, what I put in my notes are, Lord adjacent. Similar to, about the Lord, related to the Lord, and we take great joy in that. But not the Lord himself. But this is talking about taking delight in the Lord himself, in the Lord. And there's a lot of church people, it is true, a lot of church people, especially churches where everything's so exciting, you know, they're super excited about this ministry and they're super excited about this ministry and they're super excited about the band and they're super excited about that and this and that. They're super excited. But the question that must be asked is this: do I delight in the Lord himself? If all of that, and this is the test, if all of those other things, those, I say, stimuli were gone, would I still be happy? And that, I think, is the crux of the matter. If all you had was the Lord Jesus and no lights and no fog machine and no band and no super exciting ministries and no huge crowd bursting at the seams and maybe one or two of those things, I would like to have a huge crowd bursting at the seams. Okay, but if none of that existed and you just had Jesus, would that make you happy? You see, the Lord intends for himself to be the source of our delight. We can take joy in a big crowd. We can take joy in an exciting ministry. We can take joy in a lot of things. But nothing must stand at the top but God himself as our chief delight. When he is that source, we have the ability to be happy in Jesus, no matter if there is external excitement or not, no matter if we're in a moving and shaking church or we're in a boring church where they just sing hymns. Because this produces a steady, consistent joy and delight that is found in God himself, and that joy, that delight, no man can take away. And I want to tell you one more thing before we get to the last point, and it'll be quick. Whether or not you have delight in the Lord will be a major factor as to whether you actually want to live for the Lord and serve the Lord. Nobody wants to serve God unhappy. And you know what? If we find our relationship with the Lord is not delightful, you know what we will not be doing? Serving him. And that's why a lot of people don't. Because they have not yet walked with God to where they have delight. Because when you do, you'll want to serve Him. Because just like you save up for a vacation, because you know when you get there, it's going to be fun. So it is with serving the Lord. It's hard work to serve Jesus without joy. But that was never His intention. The last thing I want you to see, Psalm 37, verse 4, is this. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. You know, it's not wrong to have desires in your heart. That's not sinful, right? Whatever the desires might be, as long as the thing itself that you desire is what God wants, and as long as you want it within God's will, right, it's fine. Having desires is perfectly fine. I don't think this is limited to certain things. I think it could be a lot of things. Even if that thing you desire is not necessarily spiritual in nature. It's not limited in the verse to only certain spiritual things. But I want you to see this. Two things and we're done. Look at verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. First thing is delight in the Lord. First, desires second. Delight in the Lord is first, desires second. If we wish for these things that we desire in our heart, see, the reason we desire those things is because those things make us happy. They bring us delight, right? But if we want those things, and we desire those things, but we don't have a delight in the Lord first and foremost, then our delight, our desire for those things is misplaced. This is why we have to delight in the Lord first, and He should be our first delight, and everything else is after Him. Because think about it. What if we had those things that we desire? We had them all, right? We have great delight in them, still have no delight in the Lord. What have we gained? Right? So the Lord says, delight in Me. And then you can have the desire. It's okay to desire that stuff. Right? The second thing I want you to see is that our delight affects our desires. That's why it's first. We desire, generally, we desire something because it brings us joy and delight. The desires of our hearts do. This is why we desire temporal conveniences and we desire the things that, you know, bring us pleasure and vacations, money, and all that kind of stuff. Not all of which is evil. But when our chief delight is found in the person of the Lord God, in the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, that fact that He is our chief delight, what brings us the greatest amount of joy, that will alter what our heart wants. And it will make our desires more aligned with what pleases Him. It'll change our desires because He is our chief delight. So I just go back to the first question. What makes you happy? As a child of God, what is it that makes you happy? Is the Lord at the top of that list? Don't just say it. Do you feel it? Do you feel it? It's a good question for us to consider, to examine our hearts. Let's pray.